Time to check in with the congressman, Congressman Blaine Lutkemeyer on KWS Open Air. Congressman, welcome back.
Good to be with you, John, Dick. Always a pleasure. It's nice to have some warm weather for a change. We can kind of sit back and not have to be all wrapped up anymore.
Well, as a cattle farmer, when the fields are like this, we were out doing some working with the critters, and we're out with trying to do a little tree trimming. How the heck do you get down the fields to feed when it's like this wet?
Well, you just kind of go around the edges or around the track that's already gravel, so you don't wind up making bigger ruts. But it's pretty soft out there right now. I was out yesterday afternoon for a little while, and then it's pretty soft.
Talk to us. The last time we talked to you, Congressman, you were right in the midst of the government shutdown. The president backed off of that for now, but it's sort of a stay tuned kind of deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We'll find out at the end of next week how this is all going to play out. The backstory to all this is that the president had about 30 House Democrats come to him and said, "Hey, we're supportive of the wall. Give us 3 weeks. We can try to work something out here, and we'll get some funding put together with some wall funding in it, and we'll get this thing moved forward." So he said, "All right, you got 3 weeks, and if that doesn't work, then I'm going to go to Plan B," which I think it's, he's been pretty obvious about it. He's going to go to a national emergency and then take money from other places in the budget and try and build a wall that way. So, most practically everybody is supportive of border security of some type, although it would seem that there's a lot of folks on the other side of the aisle that are not that way. But more and more I'm coming around, and I think there's an opportunity here. Now, that being said, Speaker Pelosi is adamant about no wall funding, which is just an untenable position, but she seems to think that that's where her far left wants her to be, and the far left is right now the tail wagging the dog, and quite frankly, they're telling her what to do. And over the weekend here, there was a news report that I saw that said that there were now 60 members of the House that support a wall of some kind. And again, the president's kind of flexible on this. He doesn't have to have all the money exactly right now for this, but the Border Patrol and the Homeland Security folks have given a list of what it would take to adequately secure the border. And, why do we not want to protect our people, protect our country, protect our economy, protect us, our citizens, from all these drugs flowing across? Why would we not want to do that? I don't understand the mindset here of these people from the standpoint that this shouldn't be about politics, but it has evolved to that point. It's no longer policy. It's about politics for Pelosi and some of her folks. But the president's trying to do his job, which is protect the country, to keep the and statistically, it's shown that there's just lots and lots of bad people that are trying to come across the border illegally. And we do have a problem with legal immigration. We've got to fix that as well. But right now, the president, I think, has got the upper hand on this, and we'll see what happens in the week. If not, I think what you'll see is probably a continuing resolution to extend the government's funding until the end of September, which is our fiscal year. And then he'll do the emergency executive order and take the money and start building the wall himself. Because this truly is an emergency that we need to take care of. And by giving the legislature, the Congress, another 3 weeks, I think it proves his point that It's a national emergency that the Congress can't address or won't address, therefore he has to. So if he goes to court on this, I think they actually have strengthened his hand.
Congressman, talk to us. Some of those, even in your own party, and moderate Democrats have said, well, if we ante up with several million dollars, why can't we just give it to the Border Patrol? Why can't we get more drones and all that as a solution as opposed to the wall? Your take on that?
Well, if you look at the Border Patrol and Homeland Security's plan, I mean, it does include a lot of money for humanitarian aspects of this, to build some additional detention centers with additional medical people there to provide the care that these people coming across. And there is a humanitarian crisis. Between 50% and 60% of the women and children who come across the border have been molested. They have physically been molested. This is a true humanitarian problem. They do want to put some technology into some of the efforts of the Border Patrol to help them detect drugs, to be able to better patrol, to have drones along the border. But there are places where a wall is more effective. And as a result of that, everybody acknowledges that there has to be a sort of a multifaceted approach here. You have a physical barrier. You have whether it's a concrete wall or steel wall. We can argue over that. But, I mean, and then you have some technology where you have some drones that help along this. You have increased border patrol, increased numbers of border patrol agents who can patrol the area. Then you have some increased... And one of the ways to also solve some of the problem here is they want to begin to take asylum applications in the embassies in these Central American countries and not have them come all over the United States before they can seek asylum. They can seek asylum in these countries and not have to make the trek to the United States. So if they do that, they need to hire some additional judges to be able to adjudicate those cases. And that's also that's what's in this money that they're trying to put together. So it's a very multifaceted approach. It is what the Border Patrol and Homeland Security believe they need to do an adequate job of stopping, curtailing, and protecting our people. So we'll see where it goes. But, you can argue over the details of it and over how much money here and what do you want to do more there. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's some principles here that we need to put in place. And it should be something that everybody would want to fall in line on. We're protecting our country. That should be a nonpartisan issue. I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. Protecting our country and our people on a way of life should be primary for every single person. That shouldn't be a political situation, but yet it's devolved to that point, and especially now with the Speaker, who has become more and more partisan every day. It's just amazing that she's allowing herself to be whipsawed back and forth by this far left that has taken over her party.
Well, speaking of partisan politics and the far left, when the Democrats took over the House, we had some interesting changes in committees and committee chairs, and obviously you serve on a committee that is chaired by one of the more, shall we say, interesting folks in the House of Representatives, Maxine Waters. Tell me what life under Chairman Maxine Waters is all about.
Well, it started out pretty interesting. This is Financial Services is the committee that I serve on, and she's now the new chairman, and she's been on the committee for about 30 years and finally made it to chairman. We had our first meeting this last week, which was quite interesting. It's usually very perfunctory because what you do is you pass the rules package that is going to, the rules that you operate the committee under for the next 2 years, and it's very... perfunctory, mundane, nothing exciting going on there. You argue over a little bitty, piddly stuff, and then you move on. But yet, halfway through the committee, she got into it. One of her own hand-picked subcommittee chairman, she undermined the lady, and then turned right around as the lady and her, during a recess, got into it, right there at the dais, in front of everybody. Although the microphones were all off, but it happened not too far from where I was sitting. And she got into it with this lady. And at the end of the day, because this lady was trying to work on an amendment and Maxine wouldn't allow anybody else other than herself to approve any amendments whatsoever. And so she finally asked the lady, "Who in all my staff allowed you to do this?" And she pointed to one of the staffers behind Maxine, and Maxine immediately fired that person. So in less than half a hearing, she already got into and undermined one of her more important subcommittee chairs and had fired one of her own staffers. So, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up.
Congressman Blaine Lutkemeyer with us from D.C. KWS Open Air, brought to you by Arts Pest Control. You stay, they go. 556-6397. Calls, questions, text messages for us as well when we come back with Congressman Blaine Lutkemeyer on KWOS Open Air. KWOS Open Air brought to you by Arts Pest Control. You stay, they go. Mid-Missouri Congressman Blaine Lutkemeyer with us this morning on KWOS Open Air. Congressman, with all the talk about the government shutdown and the border wall debate, where are we at on the continuing discussion about national health care?
Well, we really haven't gotten very far, John. It's unfortunate. The president is having to do most of whatever is getting done through executive order and administrative rules. We just can't get to a consensus with the Congress on doing anything positive at all. So at this point, I don't know where we're going to go. We seem to be getting farther and farther apart with the new majority in the House confronting everybody and everything. on every issue. So I'm not sure how far we're going to get to go here, but at this point, there's not a whole lot extra being done.
Been reading some things here in the break about Representative Ocasio-Cortez from New York. What is the cult of personality like around that woman?
Well, she's on my committee.
Oh, is she?
We've got them all. We've got them all.
Low-hanging fruit, buddy.
There's another Elizabeth Warren clone that got elected from California. She's on there, and there's another a couple of them. A lady that called the president that awful name the other day, she's on there. And then we've got a lady that's even far to the left and some of those that actually defeated a guy from Boston who was extremely liberal, but she's even more liberal than he is, and she's on there. So, yeah, I tell people, I said, you know, you want to tune into reality TV, just turn on C-SPAN, and we've got a committee hearing, and you'll have something one of these days. But, yeah, she's around her. She's okay. She's a very nice lady. But I think her views are, you know, just so far out of left field that I don't know that anybody takes her very seriously from the standpoint that, you know, when you call somebody who's a billionaire immoral, when you answer the question, how do you decide how you're going to vote? She says, well, I don't decide based on emotions. I just decide on how I feel at the moment. I mean, you've got a yogiism right there. She's just a young lady who is, who quite frankly, I think she sort of dropped in and lucked into her victory there because there's a really, really, really low turnout. And the guy that she beat forgot to go home and take care of business. And now she's been thrust into this position and is the darling of the media because of her age and because she's a far, far left individual who this is where they would like to see the country go. I don't think she talks for or speaks for the Democratic Party at all. I think she's just one wing of it. But she certainly has got a lot of media attention, and she's going to continue to be that for a while here until people realize that she's about 9 miles wide and about an inch deep when it comes to really understanding what all goes on.
KWOS Open Air, Congressman Blaine Lutkemeyer, St. Elizabeth, here in Mid-Missouri, and with us this morning. Talk to us, Blaine, about your take on the whole situation in Venezuela.
Well, it is a it's a socialist regime that is run by a dictator with the military as his strongman arm to be able to enforce what he does. The people continue to lose freedom every day. Their economy continues to deteriorate every day. They've elected a new leader there that is unable to take power because the government is so corrupt. And it's I don't know where it's going to go. I know we've recognized the newly elected individual versus the present dictator. So we'll see how that plays out. But, Venezuela is a country that has got tremendous natural resources and could be a real jewel in our hemisphere, have abundant resources of oil. And yet they're one of the poorest nations probably poorestly run nation in our whole hemisphere. And, the people are suffering as a result of that. They have widespread corruption, crime, gangs, you name it, they've got the problem there. So we'll see what happens. I know that our government is recognizing the other, the newly elected guy that's not been able to take over. So we'll see how it plays out.
Blaine, what else is going on Capitol Hill? Maybe even something that might get passed? Is there anything that might get passed in the next couple of years?
Well, you know, the thing is that's not being told about this budget situation, this appropriations bills that we're working on, is the fact that even if you solve this problem, very shortly you're going to have this problem all over again because we start working on the 2020 budget here about the first of less than 30 days. And so when that starts, again, are you going to have wall funding in it? I mean, this is an issue that's going to continue to fester if we don't fix it. And if as long as Pelosi and her lefties are willing to continue to be the dog in a manger there, we're not going to get anything done. We're going to continue to be in this confrontational mode here where we, run up to deadlines and threaten government shutdowns. It's just, it's very frustrating to see that we can't get people on the same page on something so important as national security. From a standpoint of other issues, whether infrastructure is something I think the president will talk about tomorrow night in the State of the Union speech. It's a big issue that a lot of folks are concerned about. I'm not sure how far we'll get with it. His administration needs to take the lead on it, come up with a plan, come up with how you're going to fund it, and then see if we can get something done. That may be a place where you can actually get some bipartisan support. GSE reform is another place where the administration is wanting to do some things, and that's the secondary market that securitizes all of the home mortgage loans and are able to provide the funding for all of those home loans. So that's a really, really big deal. We'll see how that works out. I'm not very hopeful, quite frankly, on that one. But, other than that, there's a lot of other smaller bills, and I think some things that could possibly get done, but it's going to take a lot of hard work. The president continues to work on treaties, which is where he has more authority. He doesn't have to work with the Congress quite as much. We do have to approve them, but he can pretty well have a free hand on negotiating those things and continues to make a lot of progress. I think a year from now, I think we'll have most of these treaties done, if not all of them. I think the last one to get done will probably be the Chinese one, which is really complicated and very difficult to get done. But I think he's making good progress on all those. We've had some issues, this past week with Russia not being willing to conform to the nuclear treaty. And the president said, if you're not abiding by it, it's a worthless piece of paper. So let's just quit the facade here of trying to, hamstring our own selves by believing this is something that's working. And we need to go back and sit down and start talking. But until you're ready to do that, we're going to tear this up and we're going to, look for something different. So there's just a lot of things going on that I think are in his bailiwick versus Congress's. I think with the new Congress, Democrats holding control of the House, they're going to be very obstinate, as we've seen already with this border wall funding of trying to get, allow the president to have a win. This is already about the 2020 election. Anything that Trump can get that would be, perceived as a win for him or a success for him is something they're going to be opposed to. Whether it's good for the country or not is immaterial to these folks. It's all about politics at this point. So we've continued to devolve even deeper into more partisanship and more politics, and that's not good for the country.